Hello, you're listening to a spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray!
Did either of you write down what the pirate said?
Try to remember it, but actually, I remembered what what's her name, big little my sister Mimble. She said, "Like I think the knot's coming undone, pirates." And she was like, take me with you." She was like very much wanting to gangbang all the pirates.
She did have a bit of Stockholm syndrome.
They didn't see that plus on her, to be honest. I think they missed a treat there. Mimble looked
Yeah.
fit. God. So I don't know. I didn't write it down, B, what the pirates said. So if you.
Okay, never mind. I think what they say is, "What a right bunch of nutters."
It's something like that. That's it. Like loonies or
No. Oh, when the
nutters,
when
yeah.
yeah, when they find like the dirty dishes under the sofa.
Yeah.
That moment,
Oh
yeah.
my God. I think we need to start talking about this. Hello. You're listening to a film podcast, so if that's not what you're expecting, stay tuned anyway. Come on, get into it. I am Richard. Hello. With me is Anthony
How do you do?
and Abby.
Hello.
And this week we talk about a different film every time, in case you don't remember. And this time we have had a film selected by Abby, and it is Moomins on the Riviera. So, and there are lots of different films about the Moomins, and TV shows, and comics, and books. So we want to make sure. I mean, it's the one with Riviera in the title that we looked at, yeah? That's the only one. But Abby will clarify the details of the film, so you know what we're talking about. Abby.
Moomins on the Riviera is from 2014. It's an animation based on the comic series. It concerns the Moomins set sail for the Riviera, where, after a journey fraught with storms and desert island dangers, Snork Maiden is dazzled by the attentions of a playboy, and Moomin learns that jealousy's sting is the most painful of all.
Yeah. I don't know who put that blurb together, but that's gives a different impression to what I saw. Playboys. That's not the other sense of playboy, not the page model, but a kind of boy who plays.
It was co-directed by Javier Picard and Hannah Hemila, written by Leslie Stewart, Anina Enkel, Hannah Hemila, Javier Picard, Biette Hajdu, based on Tove Jansson's comic, and the principal voice cast in the dub that we watched were Russell Tovey, Nathaniel Parker, Tracy Ann Oberman, Stephanie Wyniecki, Ruth Gibson, Dominic Frisby, Philip Smalowski, Dave Brown, and Shelley Blonde. I think
Yeah.
that's probably as many as we need.
Those are some tough names you had to wrap your lips around there, Abby. Well done.
Thank you.
Apologies to any sensitive people who are like, oh, that's not how you say that name.
Every time I do it in the shop, they at least appreciate the effort I made.
You sound like you've pulled a funny voice to pronounce them correctly, even if you're totally wrong. Yeah. It took me a long time to get the author of Moomins, the original creator, whose name I think is Tove Jansson. I think that's how you say it, because she's a, or she was rather, she died in 2001. But yes, I know a little bit about her because I watched a documentary about her life and her work that she's famous for, which is the Moomins. And so I'm boned up on my Moomins, and I've got information to spare. I'll tell you that much. But it was your
Good.
pick, Abby. Thank you.
Yes.
So I will let you say why you selected this particular children's cartoon for us.
I noticed it on Netflix and I thought to myself, oh, I used to like the Moomins when I was little. I'll watch this film. Then I realised they were totally insane and wanted to share it with others.
Yeah. It's easy to think, oh yeah, there's some like slightly haunted-looking little white hippo creatures I remember from my childhood, and they were. I watched them as a kid. Oh, that's good. And then you kind of watch Moomins on the Riviera, and you go, what in fuck's name is this family?
Pretty much, yeah.
I believe we watched them the same time. Didn't we? We were like, oh yeah, give this a go. And we sat there watching it, going, this is they're all crazy. It's kind of amazing. But so you were like sharing the splendor of weirdness that the film
Absolutely. Presented. This should not be overlooked for a cavalcade of mad.
Yeah, because on the surface, you're like, oh, kids film, you know, it'll be sort of tailored to keeping little kiddywinks engaged. And actually, I think it's more of an animation for adults to enjoy if they're thinking about it. You know, they kind of should be chuckling along. It's a lot like a comic strip where there's lots of little gags. So to me, it wasn't so much a children's thing as it could be lumped into adult animation. Not that it's like, because it's got drinking and stuff as well. Like it's.
Yeah, Moomin Papa is a drunk pyromaniac.
Raging alcoholic. Yeah, loves fireworks and fire. It opens, that's Vandal. The great thing. Oh, yeah. We'll get to it. But when you said this, I was like, great, because I love a bit of Tove Jansson, or Jansson, because you've got to pronounce that J differently if you're from Northern Europe, I think. But, like, she's intriguing because she is a Finnish, Swedish-speaking, lesbian, illustrator, novelist. You know, she's a creative of all sorts. She's a kind of bohemian lesbian from the 20th century. And she had an interesting life. She loves storms and rural idylls and things. She liked, you know, there's a lot of stuff in the Moomins that makes sense if you know what her family life was. Because they're all based on her, like all these little tiny hippopotamus troll things represent various people in her life. They're semi-autobiographical. I guess they can't be legitimately because it's quite surreal. But like, so she's this cool bohemian from a creative family, and she was a lesbian when it was like illegal to be a lesbian. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yes.
Not quite the word I'd use, but yeah, okay.
that's like a proper arty rebel where you're doing, you know, you're kind of, you're living your life how you want to. You know, you're a cool artist and you're screw the rules, and I'm going to enjoy my life, even if there is a bloody war on, eh? Like, you know, that was her bag, I think. I think she's fascinating, and I think the Moomins are interesting. So I was excited, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anthony, what do you know of the Moomins, and in fact, this film, what were you expecting?
Honestly, like, I know nothing about the Moomins. When we first brought this up, like subsequently, I've watched a couple of the old TV series. I wouldn't say I'm particularly clued up on anything, and I've got a lot of questions for you today, Rich, because you've proclaimed yourself like the Moomin King, I suppose.
The Moomin King.
I do kind of remember the old cartoon from. I think it was like the Japanese one. It certainly looked like a kind of anime style. I don't really remember it, but I remember being a little bit creeped out by it.
Yeah, it was unsettling. Like in my memory, before I checked up on it for this, it was slightly haunting. Like, I think they had kind of dead looking eyes, and they, you know, it was very, what's the word? It was just a very quiet animation about, like, you know, like there'd be slightly creepy woods and stuff in it with weird creatures, and it's a bit different to the usual kind of Cowabunga, Ninja Turtles and stuff that was going on around the same time.
I want to look at my reference sheet for the characters from the Story Cubes. It was always Snufkin for me. He was always
No context for the story. From his Story Cubes, Abby will consult her Story Cubes throughout the podcast.
Do you want to give context, or shall I?
You're doing a bang-up job. What did the Story Cubes tell you?
Well, no, it's just I wanted to look up his name, and it was Snufkin. And I always thought he was extra creepy because he was so quiet. He had a serial killer vibe.
He does. And he lives in the woods. He's like a kind of wandering hobo who fishes and plays music. But he's friendly, but you don't trust him, do you?
No.
He's got bodies in his closet if he had one.
I think it was, for me, it was Little Mai in the one. Yeah. It's because she was really, I think it's because I couldn't quite understand, because she was really tiny, so you think, oh well, it's just a young girl then, but then she talks like a horrible old woman. and it always kind of creeped me out.
She's aggressive and kind of feral, and just like, I think she represents the inner, like the kind of the bad side of Tove. Like, she was, Moomin is kind of her character, But the little Mai is kind of her dark side, I think, and it's this unapologetic little bitch that's very aggressive. And like an old woman at voice, as you say.
So, like, that's pretty much all I kind of had to go on, was the general... I was assuming, like, the feel of the film would be kind of like the same, or the same atmosphere, the same kind of things going on. I do remember almost going to see this in the cinema, like, 2 years back in London, but I couldn't convince other people to go watch it.
Well, we should do a better job, because it's worth seeing. I think
we'll
not for everyone.
A bit, but I was expecting something with like a kind of serene but creepy kind of atmosphere, I suppose. Something a bit more for kids, I was expecting, and like nothing too that you need to think about too much, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but you don't feel like that's what you got, is what you're sort of inferring.
I have some qualms with the film. I'm probably not coming down on the side that both of you are.
That's fine.
But, like not harshly. Like, I think this is a good kids' film, but I found myself getting rather bored by it.
Maybe the experience is enjoyed more if you've got another person to turn to and go, did you just see what's wrong with Moomin Mama? Is she mental? I think if you have someone to turn to and question, you have to really think about it to enjoy this one. They struck me as very eccentric. They're a very eccentric little family, aren't they? And I think it's meant to be just bemusing. It's not like hilarious. So I don't know. I feel defensive already. I'm not defensive. Let's dig into the meat and two potatoes of it all, and maybe we'll figure out what we liked and didn't like. So, Abby, do you want to start us off with some context and how it all begins?
Well, context is hard.
Yeah.
But I can tell you how it starts. They're fucking around by their house, and pirates show up.
Who's they? What are they? Because to pin down a Moomin is to get into a grey area.
They overtly say they are not related to hippopotamuses.
No.
But they do look a lot like hippopotamuses.
But they're trolls, aren't they? I think the original one was Moomin Troll, like that was the name. But I think they're not, like, Scandinavia has a thing for the troll mythology.
Mm.
So I guess they're little white trolls. Well, how else would you explain them? I mean.
But they live in a very tall house on the side, either of a lake or a river.
Or the sea, in fact.
Oh, yeah, it must be the sea. Pirates. Must be the sea. And they're just...
Pirates in a river, like that. Go on.
But yeah, they're just chilling out by their house, being mad. And then these pirates show up, and they begin their adventure. They loot the vessel, and...
Not the pirates, the Moomins loot the sunken ship.
The Moomins loot the ship. They gain a friend in the form of a woman who is captive on the ship, who really likes being a captive and actively encourages the pirates to take her with them, even though she's now free.
It's like this first hint of adult humour, which is like this like woman has Stockholm syndrome and perhaps wants to be like kept tied up by pirates, possibly dominated and gangbanged by these identical pirates, apart from the captain, who's a lot more injured, it seems. But, like, it's a funny joke, because she's like, oh, I think I'm coming untied, pirates, are you going to tighten up the ropes? It's like, she's very caring about them doing a good job of pirating. But, you know, it seems like she's well into it. What's her name? Mimble, I think, isn't it? Or Thimble? I don't know.
Wait.
Wouldn't it be Big Mai?
You think, well, it's Big Mai's big. It's Little Mai's big sister. She's not in it that much. She kind of gets just left. Like, a lot of characters should be in it that aren't, which I find kind of weird.
Well, I don't know if she's in the credits.
I'm looking at...
Mimble, yeah. You're right.
And, like, yeah, so as you say, that they kind of, like, pirates happen at the start. It's not really about pirates for the rest of the thing, but like, the whole thing's kind of disjointed, really. It's like an adventure in several small parts. And it's just, like, weird.
Yeah, the whole thing is kind of very episodic. And it was very clear, like, very early on, that it was kind of based on, like, really short kind of comics.
Yeah.
Because that's how it kind of felt like, very much at the beginning anyway. Like, it really kind of felt like a four-panel comic and just kind of, like, back to back to back. And they just kind of filmed it all the way through. It's kind of like, here's this little funny scene, and
well,
then this little funny scene. Yeah, you know what I mean. So the whole thing is quite episodic, but it does have a fairly kind of strong through line.
Yeah.
Once they decide to get to kind of the Riviera,
yeah,
and then it becomes a kind of a bit more of like a satire of society, I suppose.
Yeah.
I find it hard because this is it's a very lovely film, and to kind of pick faults with it, I find a bit odd, because it's like, well, it's just, it does its job. It's there. It's meant to kind of like wash over you, kind of be entertaining, be kind of slightly amusing. But I don't know. For me, it's just a bit too kind of random, and I don't know. I just found myself getting really kind of bored. I don't know.
Oh, okay, that's fair enough. It is a children's animation.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I find it kind of, you know, I find it, I'm a bit wary of, you know, putting that criticism against it, because essentially it is a kid's film, and for kids, I think they would love this. They would eat up the whole thing. Mm. It's perfect for them. It's just, I have questions when it comes to a wider audience, that's all.
Yeah, maybe. Well, it's very, for animation fans, it's very beautifully animated. It's kind of got a summertime colour palette at times, very natural colours. I think it's like one of the loveliest looking animations I've seen.
Yes, I'll give it that. It's very beautiful. In fact, it reminded me of a number of like kind of Studio Ghibli animations. Mm. Specifically, my neighbour, the Yamadas, which is a kind of a very flowing, sketchy style.
Yeah.
And it's also a very episodic film, and it's got a lot of family humour.
Yeah.
So it reminds me a lot of that. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
You know, I have, yeah, I have anyway. Have you? You seen what he's talking about?
I can't remember.
You're aware of the Ghibli's, whatever the animation studio is called.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're like good. It is like that, in a way, yeah. It's got that vibe of like slightly fantasyful randomness as well that the Japanese do quite well.
Yeah.
But I think
I can't fault any of like the design or like, let's say, like the backgrounds or the animation or anything like that. Like I can't, like, that is, it's kind of perfect and it's lovely. Like, a lot of my problems are just kind of with the Moomins themselves. I think perhaps something has been lost in translation somewhere.
I don't know. Maybe it's just that Jansen has a weird family that you can't relate to, because they're also like, I don't know, fickle and kind of in their own heads and a bit just quaint and odd, and I don't know.
Perhaps, but like I think like I didn't watch like the original finish, so I couldn't know, but I think there's something just off with some of like the localization of the English one. I don't think they picked the right actors.
Well here, actually, guess what, that's interesting point, because Abby, if you don't mind talking about your friend's friend, you have you have a friend who has a connection to that very area. Would you care to elaborate?
Yeah, yes. A friend of mine knows the guy who did the voice direction on this, and my friend concurs with you that it's not quite right, the voice direction. So you're not alone in that opinion.
I think, like, some of them are fine. Like, some of the smaller characters, like little Mai, that little rat.
No, thing. See, I don't stop you there.
I don't know.
Like, stop you there. That is the one, like, the little black rat thingy, that's a really weird voice. It's got such a deep, booming voice for a tiny thing.
Yeah, but that's kind of why I liked it, because it was proper, like, what is this? And it kind of made me laugh. But, like, the one that really annoyed me was Moomin.
Oh, fuck off. Are you kidding? I thought, what's his name? Tovey.
Russell Tovey.
Russell Tovey did a really good job of Moomin. Like,
I don't know. Like, they all,
Moomin Papa was weird for me. Maybe it's everyone has their, like, there is something odd, just slightly disjointed, because they don't have mouths, you can see most of them. So you've got these, like, voices coming from these characters, and sometimes they don't feel like they line up right. Abby, do you agree with me? Is Moomin Papa off? Is Moomin off? Do you have a different character? Like, that was weird.
I'm not sure about the voice stuff myself. Because it's so stylized. The voices are kind of stylized as well. So I just sort of took it with the rest.
I felt I got used to it as well. Because the first contrast, I guess, for me and Anthony is we remember the 90s cartoon, different voice actors, different tone. And then in this, it's like, oh, they sound wrong,
well,
perhaps.
Not really. No. Like, I didn't really remember what they sounded like until I watched the I rewatched a couple of the cartoons after I watched the film.
Hmm.
So I don't think I was peppered that way.
Okay.
Like, it's not terrible, like, but I just found it a little off. Like, it felt like, rather than a proper movie, it felt like a kind of slightly cheaper TV adaptation. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Well, it's not just you. It's Abby's friend who knows the person who was in charge of it is like, well, did they do a good job? So it's something that's come up with someone outside of the group. So that's the first set. It's almost feedback, preemptive feedback as to what we feel. I don't know. I was all right with it. Let's move on off the voices because, they were fine. I mean, you know, after all, it's in a sense, it's a dub anyway, so sometimes dub actors are a little different. You just kind of
this is true. It. Like, I suppose I should give it a bit more credit because there's only a small percentage of kind of foreign films that have a kind of excellent dub, so maybe I should give it a bit of leeway.
Well, I don't want to bang on about the characters endlessly, but to get to grips with the family that are in it, it's essentially, you know, these little troll things, but like they're quite rounded little white short hippos with little long tails, and there's Moomin Mama and Moomin Papa, and it seems they're exactly the same looking as Moomin, except they're bigger. Moomin Mama has like an apron and a handbag, and Moomin Papa has a cool top hat, and then there's Snork Maiden, which is a very flip name. Like, I guess she's not the same family.
Like, why does she get like a special name?
It's like, it's so we know that they're not related,
even though they look the same, except she's blonde and has like an ankle bracelet.
Fair enough, but like Snork Maiden?
I know. So Scandinavian.
Weren't the in the raccoons, the purple?
Oh,
them people.
Things! Oh, God, what
were
are
they? Snorks?
No, the snorks are underwater thing. They're like the noses on those pink things from the raccoons.
Yeah,
they're on the heads of the snorks, and they're like an underwater Smurf thing.
Okay.
What are those pink things called? Because they're like.
Were they aardvarks? No, they weren't aardvarks, were they?
I don't think so. They're probably in the weird family of aardvarks. But, God, what are they called? We've got all across the board with animations
now.
I'll find out. They're just
Tangent!
Yeah, evil pink things with weird noses.
Like, I'm pretty sure one of them was called Cyril.
Snork? No, Cyril something.
Yeah, oh, it's an aardvark, yeah.
That does
they're aardvarks. They look more like aardvarks than Arthur, the children's animated, essentially, teddy bear from Arthur.
Well, yeah, they have noses for stars.
God. But the theme here, really, is animals that aren't any particular animal, because lots of the things from the Moomin Valley universe thing, they're all kind of, well, they're not rats, and they're not kangaroos. Like, there's lots of animals that aren't specific things. So, like, a lot of the Moomin's friends are, like, some of them look like people, and then some are just, is it a kangaroo, giant rat? And there's little rat things, but they're not rats. It's like, you can't pin down any of the animals. And yet they have animals in the universe, because they have elephants, like, referenced. So it's a world of humans, animals that are sort of human-looking, then, like, mythical creatures that are sort of like animals. There's no obvious consistency, which is very odd. Okay, well, Moomin Mama, Moomin Papa, Snork Maiden, and then the only other character that comes on the adventure really is Little Mai, who's been, as we said, she comes drowning from a shipwrecked pirate ship. They rescue her. There's more story to this. It's kind of intriguing.
She bites a shark.
She does bite a shark. That's a good character. Like, that's a good sense of her character. She bites the shark, and it doesn't like it. But, like, the Moomins go on a holiday for most of it to the Riviera, and they leave behind Snufkin, who's essentially a fisherman tramp. And but what's kind of weird is they left out main characters that are in a lot of the other stories. Like, there's a character called Sniff, who looks like a kind of aardvark, like, rat thing. And he's, like, Moomin's best friend. But he didn't come. I think we saw him at a party early on, but, like, he's missing. There's a character called Stinky, who's in it a lot. He's kind of a disgusting black furry creature. So a lot of main characters were like, ah, nah, we don't want them in this story. This is just about the Moomins. And also little Mai, because she's great. You know, and they leave behind a few of the ones they introduced to us.
I did like little Mai more in this. Like, I was kind of expecting to hate her because of my expectations, but she was probably, like, one of the funnier characters.
She basically eats steaks to the bone and rides dogs around and is anarchy personified, really.
Yeah, she's just great, isn't she? I mean, I don't know why I hated her so much from, like, the old one.
Who knows? But she's great. Abby, I mean, we won't pick through the detail. There's some eccentric business in the house to begin with, like, you know, plates under... Like, they put their dirty plates under their couch until it's time to rain so they can wash them. They got, like, loads of weird things. We touched upon... Abby, you touched upon, like, Moomin Papa's pyromania drunkenness. Do you... Like, how much...
They're having a party outside.
Yeah.
And they try to make a little campfire, and it doesn't work. So... he takes the bottle of booze off Moomin Mama's tray that she's been offering around to everyone, puts a bit on the fire so that it goes big, starts drinking the rest from the bottle, and then as the fire starts to get big, he's just standing there with his arms in the air going, "Please! Please! Please!"
Oh, that made me laugh.
And all the periphery characters were really into it as well, like really entertained by this mad drunken arsonist.
Oh, was he saying blaze? Because to me it sounded like flames! And it was giving me flashbacks of The Exorcist 2.
Well, yeah, like...
But he's constantly drinking.
Yeah, we get a sense of him.
But is he? Does he have a cigar at some point as well?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Does he have a cigar? Yeah, well, Abby, what did you say, yes or no?
Either a cigar or one of those long cigarettes.
I don't know, I can't remember that. But go on. He drinks heavily, a lot.
Yeah. I think he does, like, living it up in Riviera at some point.
In the Riviera.
in the Riviera at some point. But it was kind of nice and refreshing that they clearly didn't have a problem depicting, like, drinking and stuff in this cartoon.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, actually, it doesn't really make a difference, would it? Because these days we're very PC with what we show to our, like, children.
Yeah.
And, like, imagine this, like this kind of flying in, like, British TV or something. It just wouldn't happen. You wouldn't have people, like, drinking and smoking. So I kind of liked that.
I kind of liked it too. Because it didn't make it seem like it was fine, because he was the only one that was doing it and was mad.
Yeah. It basically sets the stall of, well, fathers can drink a bit and people look at them silly. Like, mums will kind of look down on them like, flipping heck. And that's just setting kids up with a reasonable expectation of life.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of, that's kind of what most people will experience in life anyway, so...
Yeah.
I think it's fine, and I kind of liked it.
Yeah. So to not dwell, like, there's so many micro minutes that I like. Like, there's even, like, there's tiny bits like Moomin being asked to play with everyone and being kind of flummoxed by not being able to say no. There's so many little things that make me chuckle, and little lines of dialogue that I almost throw away from every character that make me laugh, that it endeared me very early. But I feel like we should plough on. Basically, Moomin Papa's like, let's go for a trip on the river. In the sea, to the Riviera, because pirates didn't intrigue the plot enough for him, I guess.
Well, no, it's because Snort Maiden's obsessed with...
Oh, she's got a weird name.
Audrey Glamour.
Glamour. Oh, yeah. Yeah, who is like a kind of, like, I don't know, Paris Hilton type, I guess. Fashionista.
Yeah, who is known for living in the Riviera.
Or is at least visiting there or something. Yeah, she's from there. They're going to, like, Skjorkbaden's a bit more materialistic and stuff. So she's like, oh, I want to be a, you know, this a fabulous diva and let's go on a trip there. And everyone's like, I guess. Let's go.
Was Skjorkbaden always a bit of a bitch?
I think
in the other things.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a common trope of comic books, like comic series. Like, because in Charlie Brown, like the women, I guess they're like the women tend to be like bullying of the men. I don't know why. They're more in charge. I feel is a common trope. But yeah, I think she was she's a bit bossy and stuff.
Okay.
But they pop off to they get in peril because, you know, Jansen loves a storm. So a storm happens. They end up stuck up a tree on an island initially, don't they?
Is that when Moomin Mama's all, oh, we're stuck here and I don't know what to do, except I do. I'm going to build a rock garden.
Yes.
No, that was on the beach.
She definitely starts early with the rock garden business. They've had some seeds off the pirates that they robbed, and she's got rock garden on the brain. And instead of like surviving properly, she's instantly like nut job. I'm off making a rock garden, and like Moomin Papa's useless as well. And they all just sort of spend the night on an island, faffing around.
Oh, that's the other thing about him. That's when he realised there were no more fireworks, and he was properly depressed.
Oh, he's such a maniac, isn't he? He was so thrilled to come across fireworks in the hell of, like, the sinking ship. And it's just, what is the story here? Like, pyromaniac, definitely. But that's just a kind of stopping point for them to dick around, because they do end up on the Riviera and get involved in the kind of rich and fancy lifestyle. And it's a bit odd, because the Moomins are a bit dense, I think. Because they all kind of wander into a hotel, a really grand one. And they just, Moomin Mama's like, oh, she all the way through, she just assumes they're a guest. The sort of unpaying guest that's just popping in. I think the Moomins live a sheltered life. And they expect the world to be like them. Just nice, neighbourly people. Mm. It's really weird, isn't it? Like, where to begin once they get there, I don't know.
When Skjorkbaden needs money, she obviously goes gambling.
Yeah. Not again, more adult topics. She's good, though. She gets very lucky. She goes gambling because she wants a bikini, because she's been invited to a party. Like, they live on whims, the Moomin family. Just any whim comes up and that drives them. They have no concept of, like, reality.
And they flood the hotel because they think their bath is a swimming pool.
Yeah. My number one favourite bit, once they go into the fancy hotel, Moomin Mama, they're all impressed, like, it's quite grand, and they're like, oh, it's nice. And Moomin Mama's like, well, I don't know, it's very big, or maybe I'm too small. And they come back at one point to the room, and Moomin Mama has decided that they're going to live on the bed, because the room's too big, so they're moving all of the stuff they want onto the bed, and only living on the bed. It's so weird. It makes me chuckle so much. That she's that mad. Were you not won over by Moomin Mama's eccentricities by this point, Anthony? Surely.
Yes, to a certain degree.
It's too mild for you.
It's not like the things that happen per se. You know, it's fun. It's kind of random. It's kind of funny. I think it's just, I can't really put my finger on it. I think most of my problems just kind of stem from the Moomins themselves.
You think you'd be irritated to live with, do you think?
Yeah.
Can't get on board.
Not that, that's fine. Just rubbed me up the wrong way, I don't know.
They kind of take advantage of people, in a sense. They're like, they assume everything's free. And they kind of rightly kind of look down on the toff, like, privileged people who don't like, who are kind of pretentious and wanky, but they're very nice. Oh, they're mad though. Oh, there's no explaining them.
They are.
correct me if I'm wrong, but I want to try and get the gist. But there's several story. They all kind of have their own stories going on, don't they? Each character almost has a different mini story going.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no main character per se.
No.
One thing I want to talk about is the weird social commentary they had where Marquise Mongaga, yes. I think.
The Marquise of something he's, or
other,
yeah.
He's really rich, but he wants to experience life as a proper bohemian. So he lives with them on the beach for a bit. And there's one moment where he says, oh, I love this. He tastes wine. He goes, bleh! He goes, well, there's living poorly, but does it have to be this terrible? And it's like, yeah, it does, mate.
Yeah,
that's what being poor is.
There's a lovely moral story about this twat rich guy who wants to live the life of a bohemian, as you say. And he spends his time sculpting elephants on the beach and starting to be a bit poor with the movements while they're down on their luck in the Riviera. And he doesn't like... I like that little story. And the whole thing is kind of Moomin Papa's thing is he's getting really on... He's getting on with the rich people because they're kind of pretending to be above their station a bit. Like, they're the Moomins when they're... And Moomin Papa loves just drinking and telling stories of his adventures of being, like, a lighthouse keeper or getting lost in a storm. And he can witter on endlessly and just drink. And this guy's marvelling over Moomin Papa's adventures, you know? And that's his story, isn't it? It's like he teaches the Marquis to how to live like a bohemian and how to, like, just that he should make his elephant sculptures. And then the Marquis learns that actually being poor sucks and he's going to go back to his mansion. That's kind of one strand, isn't it? And then the others intersect. Like, who else did we have? Oh, do you know what's a great one? And then one of you maybe can pick something out that you like. Moomin Mama's... No, it's sort of Mai and Moomin Mama, and there's like a dog they meet called like Pimple or something horrible.
Oh, yeah!
So this dog turns up, and it becomes another weird social commentary in a way. The dog speaks, because, you know, why not? And it says... It makes friends with the Moomins, but it says like it would quite like to be friends with a cat. But, you know, it's a dog, and dogs are only supposed to like cats, and cats don't show any interest in dogs. And so Moomin Mama takes it upon herself to paint... Oh, she finds a dog that looks a bit like a cat, and she asks it, bribes it with a bone, paints it like a cat, paints stripes on it, and says, please hang out with this dog, it likes cats. And it's just like, is this trying to say, like, that the dog likes, like, is gay? And that it's like, could you cross-dress as, like, the opposite sex, please? And pretend, and then try and give it a real chance at being gay. I know you're not, and you're not the right gender for it, but it's like, what is going on? Is it about cross-dressing, or, like, it's baffling, isn't it?
Somewhat, but...
Did you take it to mean, I know it's like a cat and a dog, but it felt like that's what they were talking about.
Yes.
Abby?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you specifically what it means. But something of that nature.
Just
that
either...
Neck of the woods over there.
Definitely a sense of, I'm gay and I'd like to meet a nice something of the... Like, it's like, it's really weird. Like, I like cats, but cats don't like dogs. And it's okay. Like, the climax of that is, they play in the sea because Mai, like, chucks a stick in the sea and... Almost deliberately, because she's a little bitch. And the stripes to make the dog look like a cat come off. And then basically the dog's like, oh, sorry, I'm a dog. And then the dog that wants to be friends with the cat is like, it's okay, you look nice as you are. And it's like, oh, that's that's so nice. But what is it saying about gender norms? I just love people for who they are on the inside. Oh, my God. I found that compelling. Plus, you know, Moomin Mama also spent some time trying to build a rock garden everywhere. So amazing storyline.
Yeah, though I think those are the two more kind of like fascinating ones. Like the story of Snork Maiden and Moomin kind of got on my nerves.
Did a bit.
First of all, like Snork Maiden's one, she just, I don't know, she just came off as like just too much of like a bitch.
It did make me wonder, is like, are they only going out because she's literally the only girl?
Maybe. And then I found Moomin really kind of whiny and annoying. I don't know. It's
he's
just
a bit of a puss, isn't he? Like, he's a bit too wimpy. No one really cares about him apart from his mum.
There's also the kind of the really mini kind of side side thing that I enjoyed with what's the name of the small black creature?
I don't know. Didn't catch the name on that thing. It's in the comic. It's kind of a background character joke. Like it's kind of like it's got its own little mini visual jokes going on. So I can't remember. But there's like a little rat that accompanies them of sorts.
Yeah, him. Like there was a really kind of fun moment. I think the thing that kind of made me chuckle the most, where he kind of meets like a woman version of whatever he is.
Yeah.
And he comes up to like another like a friend of his. And he just says, "I need you to take my place in the story. I'm getting married." I thought that was really funny. I don't know why.
It was so meta as well, just taking my place in the story. And he replaces him entirely. Like, the other one goes back with him. And all that happens is that the two different rat things either are in it a little bit, runcing, or having slapstick things happen to them. Like, they're just there in the background as a non... like, a kind of non-story within the bigger plot, isn't it?
Mm.
It's stuff like that's really interesting, I think. There's lots of, like,
there's, little jokes. It's definitely an attention to detail.
Yeah.
There's always something going on in the background.
Yeah.
They've always animated a little creature somewhere.
Or a gag.
There's a lot more similarities with, like, Studio Ghibli as well, because they also have, like, an attention to detail, a focus on the kind of normal things of life. Like the Moomins are very much just like, at the beginning anyway, just going about their everyday lives and doing the things that they do every day, and then just kind of showing it in a fascinating detail.
One of the tiny things I noticed this time that I didn't notice the first time is Moomin Mama at one point goes to make like tea for everyone, and she's getting the cups off some hooks, and inside each of the cups is a little bird. And it's just like, that's cute, but that's incredibly filthy and disgusting. No one wants tea served from like this like bird flew all inside the cups now. But it's cute.
It was.
Abby, is there a story element you want to pick up? I mean, Anthony didn't go into great detail about the story arc of Moomin and Snork Maiden, but is there something?
Well, there's not a whole lot going on, really.
Gambling, duels.
I suppose it's technically the most meaty storyline, but it's also the most annoying and the one you don't really want to watch.
I think the characters that Snork Maiden hangs around with are really ugly, weird. Like, they're kind of meant to look like posh caricatures, but there's a horrible grinning guy with a pointy dog face, and then a snooty nosed model. Like, they're all really long and tall, and she's like kind of stumpy and short. It's like this visual contrast as well as a personality clash of sorts. But yeah, basically, you know, Moomin's kind of the crap middle main character who pooties a bit and doesn't like living this fabulous life in the hotel. Moomin Mama doesn't like it as well, but it's okay, because the best thing happens, Happy. I know you like this bit. They decide they're just going to live in the upturned boat. Fuck you, Moomin Papa and Snork Maiden. We are going to live in an upturned boat on the beach like tramps.
The way she said it as well was... it was properly, I'm getting a divorce.
Yeah.
Of course I am. That's how Moomins live. You think she was going to get a divorce from Moomin Papa because he was too interested in drinking and talking?
The way she put it was like, well, I'm going to go and live under the boat on the beach, and I'm taking Moomin with me. And I was like, oh, she actually left him.
Mai's coming with us because she's feral anyway, and is basically riding the dogs around. But Mai just like tags along, but is a welcome addition to the team. She doesn't have her own story, really. Oh, do you know what's bloody weird? Right? Like, so, on the island, which has no point in the plot, really, they find, like, a box that has swearing bugs in. Like, they don't swear properly. They say they're swearing, but they kind of make, like, I don't know, they say just weird stuff like meathead or something. I don't know. They shout weird stuff. And it's meant to be swearing. It's swearing creatures. And they back them up.
What they do is the creature jumps into, like, gets in someone's ear, up their nose or something, and then they make that person swear at someone else, so people start fighting.
Yeah. What is that? Has it happened to me? Is that one burrowed into my ear? But then it comes up again right at the end, like there's a kind of tsunami of police officers after Moomin Papa because of vandalism of statues and ruining.
Yeah, they decided to replace the mayor's statue with a fucking elephant while they were pissed.
Not a fucking elephant. An elephant. Yeah.
That was a weird moment for me, because I felt like he'd crossed a line. Yeah. It sounds really weird because it's like a Moomin's cartoon, but it's like, really? Would he do this?
But it's avant-garde and bohemian, and it's about art, not the rules of society.
Maybe.
I think it might also be that this is the first time that someone's actually encouraged him.
Also, he's drunk.
My assumption is the rest of the time there's just been Moomin Mama going, no, let's do this thing that's slight, that is also mad, but quiet.
Yes, and essentially he's drunk with his artist friend now. He's with a drunk rich friend, and he basically encourages the Marquis guy to like stab the elephant wants to, and they ride it out of his mansion down the street into the square and like, fuck it, we're gonna knock down this shit statue and throw it in the river and plonk the elephant there. And he's just this mad bastard who's drunk with his friend essentially, and he gets in trouble because of this. And the way they resolve the problem is they run away on the boat and stuff, like, to get away. They all kind of are united again at the beach and try and get... There's more story to this, and it's worth checking it out, but they essentially, to stop the tsunami of cops that they have after them, they unleash the sweary bugs.
Yeah.
And they, like Abby said, they go in your ears and make you swear and fight each other. And like, it's just, there's like a locust plague of filth. Swearing bugs. I don't.
That takes over the whole of the Riviera, and then the Moomins just piss off in the boat.
And the only karma they have really is they have to throw away. Like at one point, Moomin has made a sculpture to woo, like a mermaid version of Snork Maiden. He sculpted on the beach, and also he did a duel where he kind of slapstick won the duel and beat this cheesy grinned, his kind of cheesy grinned romantic nemesis. So he has this kind of, he shows that he's, you know, an alpha male, even though he's the ponciest little chubster ever. And he kind of wins Snork Maiden back. But essentially they have to ditch that statue because it's in the tiny boat. And like the rockery that Moomin Mama made on the beach, she's left a lot of it for the people of Riviera to enjoy for free because they make everyone pay for everything. But they have to like kind of ditch the plants they've been growing because there's a storm. So they lose a few of their things to survive on the sea.
Right. One of the things on their way back, I think it's Snufkin spots them from the beach, and it goes, "Only Moomin Mama would plant a forest at sea."
He was like, "He knows to rescue them." That's such a good line.
Yeah.
He didn't do it, but he should have just rubbed his eyes and gone, "Oh, Mama, what have you done now?" Like, and that's almost like the crescendo is they kind of get back and they're happy to be home again, and they fly kites and enjoy Moomin Valley. But it is just like, what a bloody story to form. Like it's just. So many little things happen, and if you say them out loud, like the whole sculpting elephant stuff, and like trying to pay with sculptures of elephants to their debts, they have to try and pay their massive hotel bill when they realise that they can't just live in a hotel for free. They flood a place, they cause so much bother, they get kicked out of the hotel. They learn life lessons, but they don't really actually learn anything, do they? Not really, they still stay the insane Moomins.
What I like about that is Snork Maiden had enough money left over from her gambling.
Oh my god, yeah.
And shopping to pay off the hotel bus.
This is how bohemian they are. Like, she's so dead. Like, I can see, Anthony, why you don't like her particularly, because it's like she's infuriatingly vacuous and kind of materialistic. She wants to be this kind of it girl, and she wins loads of money easily on roulette, like millions of dollars or whatever the money is. Like, and then she buys her bikini, doesn't really want... She buys her bikini and other trinkets. She doesn't need any of the rest of the money, so she buries it under a stone on the beach. And they spend a while trying to figure out where it is. And then they figure it out because she sprayed perfume on it. But like, and Moomin gets the dogs to find it or something. And it's like, they just find all this money, pay their bill off, and then she's like, the hoteliers are like, "Oh, here's your $500,000 change." And she's like, "I don't want that $500,000. I bought my bikini." And none of the Moomins go, "Hang on, 500,000. We could at least give it to charity. Oh, we're going where the Moomins. Don't give a fuck, mate. We live by the seat of our pants, or whatever the phrase is. Is that that's basically what Moomin Papa says at the end, isn't it? Fuck it, we're the Moomins. Make like sleep all day, put potatoes in the ground. What the hell is this? All I want to do is live in peace, plant potatoes, and dream. That's how the Moomins roll. They didn't do any potato growing. Don't know why he said that.
Oh, my Moomin Mama might have.
As part of the rockery of weirdness.
Hmm.
How is the main part of that building a rockery? Like, how does a rockery solve the day? What? Abby, are there other parts you think we've glossed over? Because it's such a weird thing, I can't remember what happened when, really.
No, it's all the little touches along the way. And just the little details of things. Where, when you watch it more than once, you've become accustomed to the madness. Do you actually see the beauty of the way it looks and the little visual jokes that they've put in?
There's loads of actual verbal jokes. There's loads of little gags. Like, the sarcasm is subtle from the other family members. Like, they all know each other so well. They kind of slam each other a little bit with, like, lines to each other, which I kind of like as well.
And it is Mai in general. It's just being like, she's so rude. But usually just because she's being really honest.
Yeah.
Which I sort of like. She's a lot like Mr. Rude.
Yeah.
From the Mr. Men.
Vaguely vindictive and mean, but innocent, I suppose. Although she thinks it is romantic that Moomin won a duel, even though it's, you know, quite... Because it's essentially violent. She's like, yeah, that is romantic. She's sweet in her own horrible way.
No, I can't think of anything else off the top of my head. Except for that general sense of, you know how you said that none of the other characters came along? I had the feeling that they were glad to be rid of the Moomins for a bit.
Yeah.
Like, you know when, Snufkin is like, no, I need to fix a fishing rod. Like, is that going to take you a long time, is it? Because you seem like you're just making up an excuse to avoid sea-based anarchy and madness. I don't know where Sniff was. He was at the party, and he's like Moomin's best friend. He should have been in on that shit. I don't know. There's lots of side characters they just referenced. And then Mimble? She's in it at the start as if she's important because she's kidnapped by pirates, and then it's like just utterly irrelevant to it the rest of the way through. Just happy to see them back, I suppose. What even happens with the pirates? They start that shit off, and it's like totally irrelevant. There's lots of irrelevant little starts of stories.
Well, that's the thing. The pirates thought that they'd stolen treasure, but they hadn't stolen the treasure. They'd stolen the seeds.
And the pirates just want to get the fuck out of there because the Moomins are weird eventually, don't they?
Yeah, well, they've realised that the gold's still on the ship, so they need to get it off the ship and fuck off about their business.
Yeah. I don't know. Anthony, I mean, having talked about it now, are you understanding it more? Are you getting more of why we like it? Are we, you know, do you feel like we're justified, or are we kind of making it out to be better than it is?
No, like, you're totally, you know, it's totally justified. I totally see all of these things and like a lot of them. And yeah, I do feel like I'm kind of being a bit harsh on it. But I don't know. I think there's just the spark, I don't know, is just missing, and I don't know where it is. It's really hard to put my finger on with this one, because it's a lovely film. Like, it looks beautiful, like the atmosphere of it flows very nicely, and it's just a good kids film and no more.
I think the only criticism I would have isn't, like, I think it does have a spark. I think it has an inferno of fuel poured on a fire by Papa Moomin. But I feel like sometimes they take the easy route out where it's like, oh, we just dug up loads of money, or we just won lots of money. Like, everything, they get out of situations with just, with nothing, like, we didn't, like, oh, we unleash a bag of sweary things, and it's like, that solves the problem. And it's like, well, there's no repercussions, really, to the damage they cause. And, you know, it's sort of celebrating that bohemian life while not highlighting how being poor is genuinely tough. And also, you can't just be a prick and naive. Like, it kind of says, be naive and enjoy life and ruin hotels. It's fine if people are richer than you to be vandals. Like, it kind of sets a bad tone in a way. And that's something I might criticise, but I gotta be honest, I really like the film, so it doesn't come easy to find flaws.
Yeah, fair. Like, I think that, you know, the message, all the messages that it's trying to tell are slightly different, but they're good messages. Like, you know, some of them are, like, really obvious. Like, you know, be yourself. It's fine to be yourself, even if it's you're a bit weird kind of thing. I don't know. It's just they rubbed me the bloody wrong way, that's all. And like you said, it does have... As a kid's film, you don't mind that some things don't make sense. And, like, they kind of, like, take the easy way out. Yeah. So as a kid's film, it's good. But for adults, I think there's just a few too many annoyances and questions.
See, I would differ, because I think the adult element made me, like, if it was just for kids, and it didn't have these subtle jokes about possibly, like, the sexuality of a dog, or the drunken behaviour of an eccentric father. Like, I like the stuff that kids don't think about, but you kind of, if you do question what they're like, it is kind of funny to adults more than children in some ways.
Mm. And but, I'll admit, I'm not going to say it's a bad film or anything. You know, it is a good film, and I think most people will enjoy it. I mean, both of you, I think, are fans of the Moomins, and if you guys like it, I mean, that should tell you enough, tell the listeners enough about, like, yeah, how good it is. It's just, I don't know. Maybe I was in a bad mood. I don't think I was, or maybe. Just they just rubbed me the wrong bloody way. Oh,
yeah, it's not a family you want to be friends with. That's fine. I get it. They certainly have annoying traits about them. Mm. So, anyone got metaphors? Abby, have you been thinking about a metaphor, or do you need to seize this moment to think?
I'm trying to think of things that are Scandinavian and aren't Swedish meatballs or IKEA furniture.
Fjords.
Yeah.
Vikings. Vikings, that's a good one. That's a good catch-all Scandinavia thing.
Yeah. I could do Vikings, because, like, Vikings have this reputation for, like, the horned helmets and everything, which is almost entirely false.
Well, they're also known for pillaging and raping. and sailing. Go on, sorry, don't hijack it.
But it's got that same level of unrealism that the Moomins do, where it's just, you'll accept the Viking that's got the horned helmet and everything, because it's, I was about to say quixotic, and I realised let me just look up quixotic.
Quixotic. If you do look it up, you're going to be teaching everyone the meaning of it for the first time. I've never heard of that word.
I think it's like, just really
convenient. Is that's how I'd interpret it?
Awkward. It's really.
According to the internet, extremely idealistic, unrealistic, and impractical.
Oh, good word, yeah. Then. Good word. So yeah, how's that like a Viking?
Yeah, I think it comes from, like, Don Quixote.
Like, yeah.
Quixotic. Because he was, you know.
Mad as a brush.
Exactly.
Vikings, quixotic.
Yes. But you accept it. It's like, I know that that's not realistic at all, and that's just silly and weird, but we love them anyway, the little horned Vikings. In fact, it's our preferred Viking.
Because the reality is, heavy drinking, rowing, murderous lunatics, barbarians who believe in bizarre gods and want to die with a sword in their hand. That's not as nice as the kind of fun-loving, how's it going, you know, big burly men version we see in cartoons.
Yeah.
It's more fun.
It's the same thing with the Moomins, where you could view them as an alcoholic, just someone who's entirely mad.
Eccentric bunch of freaks.
Yeah, you could see them for their bad parts. Or you could just take them as these little twee, strange little creatures and enjoy them.
Yeah. That's good, I think. I got a sort of metaphor relating to the film. I think of it as like a rockery, because Moomin Mama was well into her rockeries. And it's like this little... the garden of various plants amongst some rocks. You've kind of created your own little art project garden, and hers is very full of like weird plants. And so the whole thing is kind of full of different weird little stories and creatures, and they all have their own merits and the different scales and different, you know, there's a lot going on. They're all very visually beautiful. The whole thing is beautiful and quirky and nice. And if you think about it, it's like, what, you've made not only a garden, but you've put rocks in it. And, like, you could let nature just grow and be beautiful, but you've artificially put it together, and it's like a big mix of different, very different stuff that would naturally grow together. So I think the whole film is just, you can find different plants and different things to entertain you in it, but if you think about it, it's quite a mad project to create this strange little garden or film. You know, like, it's sort of like a kind of kooky rock garden, I think. And I for one, like it. I have a rock garden. It is overgrown by one particular plant, so I don't know what that's a metaphor for. But I do like a rock garden, and I do like this film. But rock gardens, what are they about? That's a weird project to undertake.
Anthony?
I don't know. I can't think of anything to relate directly back to the Moomins like you guys have.
Finnish it's lesbian. Kind... What Finnish lesbian is it? There's so many to choose from. There's Tove, her missus.
It's,
a,
it's something like you've taken your like your young child or something to like a child's party. And no.
It got drunk.
I don't know where I was going with that. Maybe something like, you're going to a party, and you know that the person who is throwing the party throws a really good party. So you know, like, it's going to be really good, but you don't like the host.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So you know it, you're going to go there and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a great party. Everything is going to be really good, but you can't avoid the host all the time. And yet they are essential to the party being great, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you can't take them out of it because there is no party without them, isn't it?
Mm. So it's kind of that's kind of how I feel about it. It's like, it is, everything is kind of really good, and I should really love the film. It's just, the Moomins are just, they're just kind of just rub me the wrong way. I don't know.
I think your metaphor works for how you feel about it, and that's good. So, I feel like we've articulated enough. It's only an hour and 15 minute movie, so I think we've done well. There's plenty of stuff we've glossed over, so it's really, the extended universe, the comic books are quaint. So if you like Moomins, there's the 90s cartoon, there's the actual books written throughout the 20th century. There's loads of Moomin stuff, and I think there is kind of Moomin mania in Japan and places. Like, it's like, it's a big brand. It comes across the sea a little bit to us and probably America, but it's definitely a very over cartoon from Europe, so it's like not that obscure. So there's plenty of other stuff. If you like this film, explore the greater Moomin universe, I say. And if you don't like it, fair enough. Don't be a bohemian then. That's fine. But we're going to get blackout drunk and start a fire. And we hope you'll join us next time.
Blaze!
Bye.
Bye.
Ta-ta.
Dead. They love the laughter and they love the living, the moments. Believing and sharing and caring and giving, the moments. They're always happy and always a play. The moments are having fun day after day. The moments.
The
moments? The
moments. Oh, the
moments. The moments.
Bravo.
That's lovely.
Thanks.
It's delightful.
Anywho.
Oh, it took me so to click who the voice of Moomin Mama was. Like, I instantly recognised it, but I was like, oh, you are burning me. But by the end, it was like, oh, I know who this is. She was in Big Train.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense now. Like, the only one I recognise was Russell Tovey, because I really like Him and Her, which was like a BBC Three sitcom.
Yeah, he was quite recognisable, but yeah. They were the only two
he's doing a character he does a lot. Like, the Moomin character is a lot like his characters he plays, but also he sounded much more like a cute version of himself. Cool. The other character this film was missing is the Groot, which is the character is a massive, hairy winter beast that everyone's frightened of in Moomin Valley. And they didn't write... I think they might have visually had it in there somewhere, but that was another major thing missing. Oh, and Thingy and Bob. They weren't in it. They're just weird little things that dick around.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Thingy and Bob is the name of the characters that are in the story sometimes.
I just read something. Snork Maiden's meant to be a snork rather than Moomin, and she should be yellow.
Oh, but I think there's different colour versions. There's like plays or children's performances that have been on, which are like the Moomins are like green and grey and blue, and it's like, what? Like, so some of the animation colours vary as well. I think this is the established current style now, but there are various... I mean, the first illustration of Moomin started off in a propaganda poster. It was just a kind of little character thrown in to give... diverse, like, to just thrown in as a signature, like this little ugly troll. So, I don't know what the Moomins are. So who could question what they're meant to look like?
I'm just going over my notes.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I haven't mentioned is my little note, which is Audrey Glamour's weird fucking cat.
She's a monkey cat, isn't she?
I'm not really sure. I don't really remember what that means.
Well, it's just she has a weird monkey cat with like a Carl Pilkington-like head. Yeah, so well...
Okay, it was clearly weird enough to make a note of, so... Yeah. But I don't really remember.
Some of this stuff could be in the junk bit at the end, so... You might have said your piece. We'll see in the edit.